And now it's time for more of Southern California's sports fishing voice, Let's Talk Hookup. This portion of the show is sponsored in part by Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup. Shimano Rods and Reels, fish with the best, Shimano. And by Yamaha Outboards, official motor sponsor of Let's Talk Hookup. Here we go, another great hour of Southern California's sports fishing voice, Let's Talk Hookup. Here's Pete Gray, Rock God Rick Mexa, and Corey Sandin.
Welcome back. Hour number two, Let's Talk Hookup from Let's Talk Hookup app and the Mighty 1090 ESPN Radio. Pete Gray here along with Rock God Rick Mexa in the world headquarters of Let's Talk Hookup, overlooking Fisherman's Landing, Point Loma Sport Fishing. Very, very busy places this morning. Lots of fish being hauled in, lots of passengers going off, and lots of passengers going on.
It was some exciting times. And I mean, just any time, you know, the season always has little ebbs and flow, but we're in a flow right
yeah,
now.
Yeah.
Fishing has been tremendous the last few nights. The grade of fish is excellent. And, you know, like Ali was talking about earlier, there's two kind of sizes of fish that have been available for our sport boat fleet. The 30 to 60 pounders, which are manageable, and you can, you know, if you get the right school, you can catch a whole bunch real fast. And then there's also that epic trophy grade of fish that's, you know, majority of it's over 100 pounds.
Like the stuff that's on the front page of Western Outdoor News this past week.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's it. Tuna tonnage. Bluefin continues, it says in Western Outdoor News. So be sure to check that out, because they always have the latest information there. And then last week they also had that sport boat and spot and landing spotlight too. So check out Western Outdoor News.
It's crazy how good it's going. And one of the kids that works with us came back from fishing in the morning, and he fished with Captain Adam on the New Loan. And, you know, like, oh, how was the trip? He goes, oh, it was good. It was a pretty decent trip. I had four fish over 100. Jeez. And then we went into the island and we caught yellows. No huge ones. You know, they were all like low 100 pounders, and I had a 25 pound yellow on the surface iron and a couple on drop. It was a pretty good trip.
Okay,
I just like you kicked it.
It's hard not to get jaded now.
It is. Four over 100.
I know, it's crazy.
World class. That's
world
unbelievable.
Class.
Yeah. It was on a 2-day trip.
Well, I think when we were growing up too, like Ricky and I, we were a little too young for the big eye days. I caught a little bit of it when I first started. Like, I was 18 years old. We caught a couple of 80 pounders or something, but we never saw the good old days.
Yeah.
You know, and now, like I said, I like to tell a story about my friend, the beak. Young man, these are the good old days.
Yeah.
Enjoy the hell out of them.
Yeah.
And it's so true. Everyone's a trophy, man. Every tuna you catch over 100 pounds, it's a piece of history.
Oh, yeah.
And there's no denying what we're in right now. I mean, this is it. Like, this, the big eye cycle, just like you said, that we missed was cool, but I mean, this is, you go catch a cow
epic
today,
cycle.
Right now.
It's,
you know,
it
like,
is
right this second.
So
you,
crazy.
If you left the dock right this second, you had a boat full of flyers, and you
within 100
right
miles,
here,
you can
like,
catch a cow.
Your odds are 100% there. Doesn't mean it happens every day, but the opportunity is there every single day.
I mean, we were running 30 miles, right? And we'd catch one, two cows each day at 30 miles.
Wow.
Like,
crazy.
That's 45 minutes in my boat if I'm moving. You know what I mean? It's unreal. It's a dream come true. If you haven't done it, do it. Get out there. Enjoy it. Get that fish of a lifetime. Tell your grandkids about it. These are such special times. And I know you guys are like me. Every season, you know, March rolls around. You're waiting for that report from the Saners, making sure it's going to happen again. And, you know, oh, the long range guys saw him
down
there
at
200. Yeah, man. Go. It ain't going to, I don't think it's going to last forever.
One year, it's not going to be a thing. And, like, hopefully that's 10 years from now, blah, blah, blah. But 1 year, it's not going to be a
100%.
Thing.
You never know. Remember the albacore?
Sure.
Like, we never thought those albacore were going to go away after they came back.
And when was the last time we saw one of those?
Exactly. 2012.
Yeah. So, Yosef, since you lost that one right at the boat, that big one, you ready to go get some more?
Oh, yeah. I'm ready to go crush them. I got to have some back work done, so I'm trying to push that off and get out.
Not the time of the year to do any surgeries or anything like that.
I got to get it.
I can relate.
Hunting season, I got an elk hunt in November.
I would also like to point out how much I like the theory of a person who needs to get surgery on their back. Like, no, I'm going to push it off so that I can destroy it with a 200 pounder and an elk hunt. Like, let's get priorities
out
of the way here. Like,
100%. You got to have your life in order.
Yeah, exactly. Same way with my shoulder.
It's like I'm on a bad back and a bad shoulder. And if I couldn't cast the other day, I was like, oh wow, this is getting serious.
Yeah.
Like, that's what it's going to take.
Yeah.
And I get off the boat and it hurts so freaking bad, whatever, take some Motrin, suck it up, get on the boat the next day.
There you go.
You've got 20 more years of this, yeah. And we're like in the height of our fishing in San Diego. I mean, you got to get out and just
you gotta do it.
It doesn't matter what, you know, the pain, suck it up.
You're listen to your doctor.
Yeah, you're
just go.
You're back. What does he know?
Yeah, what does he know?
Don't you know the cows are biting?
Yeah. Yeah. Your back will still hurt tomorrow.
Yeah.
Don't worry.
Yeah, exactly. It's not going anywhere. For sure. Well, phones are packed. They want to talk to you guys. Let's jump back into it, Rick.
That sounds great, man. How about this time we talk to Jeff? He's calling us from San Diego this morning. Hi, Jeff. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Hey, guys. Great show. Hey, listen, I deal with both those guys, Yusuf and Ali. Yusuf, though, he's selling my place. And he's been great for me. I've had a couple of issues, but he's worked through every single one of them flawlessly. And then Ali, great yellowtail shootout, brother.
Thank you, man. Thanks for your support. That was a lot of fun, and if there's one thing we can count on every year, it's your support, and we really appreciate it.
Yeah, and Jeff's got a beautiful townhome in Saber Springs. We've just run into a couple snags with things that have popped up that were out of our control, but, I mean, if anybody's looking for a place in the Poway School District that's under $1 million, this thing's only $800. And it's got a two-car garage. If you have any questions, just hit me up. 619-277-2169. But yeah, this is Jeff from OCT's place. He's going to be moving out of town.
I said, do you get like a six pack of OCTs or something if you buy the you buy the place?
I'm throwing in 15 Ock jigs if you buy Jeff's house.
Exactly.
I might even make it 20.
Yeah, that's cool, Jeff.
That, and we have John Jordan's coming up too in Idlewild as well. He's got a giant place. It's like literally up on a hill next to Clark Gable's home.
Really?
Right next door. And you can't see the neighbors, and it's just views for miles. Oh. It is really a cool spot, built into like the side of the hill.
Also, free surface iron opportunity when you buy that place.
Well, I was going to say, we're talking free iron.
Yeah. You know. Somebody's going to score some serious jigs here.
Hey, spend $1 million and we'll get you 5 jigs.
Yeah. Every time. No questions asked.
Exactly. Yeah, but that's, where can you spend $1 million and get in San Diego County and get no neighbors?
Yeah, that isn't in San Diego. That one's in Idlewild.
In Idlewild.
Yeah. But, that place is very cool. It's a very unique property.
Yeah.
If anybody's looking for something in Idlewild.
Sounds cool. Beautiful community, for sure. Hey, I have a great text here from Greg and Ramona. It says, Seakeeper Ride, average boat yard time to install and retrofit at recess trim tab.
Drop it off Monday, get it back Friday, maybe sooner.
Come on.
Very quick.
Yeah, no, really?
Yeah, it's 20, 25 hours of labor. If everything goes smooth, we went to a bunch of glass work. It's pretty quick. Pretty quick.
Wow.
Yeah. No, you won't be down for the season. Don't even worry about that. You know, you can drop it off Monday and be ready to go fishing on Saturday for the most part.
Well, that's
awesome.
Cool. Yeah. Great.
All right. I had another great text here. This is, morning, guys. I love the show, and I've really been digging the new HD Baffy maps on Fish Dope. Are there any plans to add any charts for other areas? Hint, hint. I love La Jolla. Thanks for everything you guys do. Fish Dope's killer, from Jimmy in San Marcos.
Well, that's a question that's out of my purview. We'd have to ask Dr. Jeff on that. I know that those Baffy maps work really well. He's using all the data he can get, I believe, but that's something I'll definitely mention to him. It's basically, we're using government data that he has available to him, so he's limited by that. But I will definitely look into that, and I don't know how we would report back, but if you want to send me an email, just ollie@bdoutdoors.com. I can get you a better answer right from the man himself.
That's rad.
So, question about Fish Dope. Have you ever thought about doing like an overlay?
Yes, it's just very hard to do, and we're looking at that for sure. I mean, I think Fish Dope, the ultimate end game for it is get it on your chart plotter.
Totally.
You know, if you could just have it right there, yeah. And now with Starlink, I mean, gosh, I can't believe how many people in my circle have Starlink, and they connect to the web, and so they're, yes, at some point they will give us a portal or a way to get that information in there. But right now, it's not on our end. It's definitely like the technology just has not been built into their system yet.
Pretty amazing.
Yeah.
So what are some of the what does Ali use on Fish Dope? What are some of the features? What does Yosef use on Fish Dope?
I like the mapping, man. I read the report just like everybody else.
Yeah.
You get a general idea of what's going on.
Yeah.
You know,
overview
of what's going on for sure. And then I just the maps. To me, that's the gospel.
Like which map?
The SST map and the chlorophyll maps combined. Because, you know, we grew up albacore fishing, and we were using Terrafin, which is great. Jeff has a great program there, you know, and he has great maps. And I just, my brain got into the mode of trying to figure out where the fish are going to be. And for me personally, like in that sketchy early season stuff or when the fish are moving around, to look at the water, find the right piece of water. You know it's the right piece of water. Run out there.
And the temperature.
Yeah, I mean, temperature really shows the current breaks. I'm not even, bluefin don't care about your temperature. They don't, people, ooh, it's warmer up here. They do not give a you-know-what. The only thing they care about is bait. Bait piles up on edges. Bluefin will get into a certain chunk of water, and they will move till they hit that edge. When they find that edge, it's going to be usually a temperature break, but the temperature is really the immaterial part. It's the difference in the water. I just want to see the difference in the water, and then I confirm it with the chlorophyll. So first things first, find your break by looking at the temperature. Next thing I'm going to do is look at the chlorophyll and make sure I'm not looking at a wall of nasty, you know, green-brown water, which usually we don't have too much up offshore, but it does happen. Even a slight water color will build enough of an edge where that bait will get pushed up against it, and the bluefin will be in there. It's not just the bluefin. Everybody's seen it. You run for 40 miles, you don't see a speck of life. Oh, there's a turn. Oh, there's a couple shearwater. Oh, there's a couple more turns. Next thing you know, you slow the boat down, put the glasses up, and you found it. Life is always what I'm looking for. I can't tell you how many times we get in that zone, can't find it, so we start chopping it up, you know, north, south, east, west, looking for, oh, there's a bird. Okay, got a bird in the gyros. I head toward, oh, there's three birds. And then just building on that life. The other day we were catching, literally hooking cow bluefin off whales.
Wow.
They were in there. The whale would come up. He would feed.
Blue whales?
He would go, no, fin whales. Fin go whales. Down. It's some of the coolest. If you guys have never seen the whales and the tunas mixed in, it's
pretty cool.
Unreal.
Yeah.
These whales would come up, and they're big. Fin's the second biggest whale on earth. Yeah. You know, take a big mouthful of krill or whatever it was they were eating, and as soon as his tail print would come and you'd get that boiling water, there would be 150s to 250s just boom, blowing out right behind him. And we're fishing the kite, so I'm like trying to get a bait right onto that whale's tail. It's just awesome.
Sick.
Awesome.
Sick.
It is so sick.
That sounds
and
amazing.
There's dolphins in there with them, and there's every kind of bird and big shearwater. I mean, it's just straight blue planet stuff.
Cool.
That all started because I was glassing around off San Clemente there, and I saw a bunch of shearwater starting to move. And shearwaters move two different ways. They'll kind of glide across the surface when they're just traveling and not doing anything, but then sometimes they get all whipped up, kind of like a hornet's nest. They're buzzing, and there's something going on. When you see them like that, follow them. I spotted them in the glasses from like 3 miles, 4 miles away and kept working that way. And I'm like, oh, there's another piece. I know there's fish in here. And then sure enough, you know, the thing just on the back of a whale erupted a foamer spot that was like, I don't know, 100 feet by 100 feet.
Wow.
But it was all the right ones.
Yeah,
I mean,
cool.
I put my glasses down. You can see an eyeball from 3 miles away.
Wow.
Just looked like somebody dropped a bomb in the water.
That's pretty cool.
So,
Joseph, what features do you use on Fish Dope?
I pretty much use the same.
Yeah.
I use the SSTs, you know, find the hard breaks. Same thing with the chlorophyll. You know, it kind of gives you an overview of what you're going to show up to. And then it'll put you in that general area of where the fish are going to be. You know, you bust out the gyros, start looking. Same deal. Also, the reports, their reports are pretty detailed where it kind of gives you a full overview of what they did the day before. You can get an idea of what time they were up, that kind of thing.
Okay.
Yeah, and one other thing I didn't touch on, too, is finding kelps. Those same edges that hold the bait are the same edges that hold the kelp.
Like some big yellows on those kelps.
Oh, man, there's been some really... I think one of our friends, Max, had a client. He shot a 47-pounder last week.
Whoa!
And that was right out front. But there's so many ways to use it beyond the report. And for me, if I'm going kelp fishing, I'm definitely looking at that. Because those same edges is where the kelp piles up, is where the bait piles up. And this isn't rocket science. You just have to kind of do it a couple of times on your computer or your phone and then go out there and kind of cash that check from what you've learned, and it'll be automatic.
See, I pick up some every time. Like, I use Fish Dope every time we go. I didn't realize there was a forum area that we could, you know, like...
100%.
Like you said, you employ scientists. You know, like, if you've got a question about breaking something down, like, I had no idea that we could, you know, we could email a question in, you know, through via the forum and get deeper info than that.
Yeah, no, the guys are standing by there, and they're answering that stuff every day. So if we can help you out and up your game a little bit, that's all part of the
subscription.
Yeah. Well, and the whole deal, like you were saying with the kelps, if you know, most of those kelps pile up in the same area. If you have a good idea of where the kelps were the day before, you're going to find them.
Totally,
you know,
yeah.
You'll be within a couple miles of them and
just have to find
what you need. Exactly. Yeah.
That's it. Well, hey, speaking of finding them, we're going to find out if they found them last night. We got Captain Mike Pritchard of the Tribute on the line this morning. Good morning, Mike.
Hey, good morning, guys. Yeah, last night was good.
Right.
I guess when I called you guys yesterday. We had a very leisurely kind of charter group, and we still ended up picking up 15 more last night. We ended up with 26 for our trip. But the guys that same zone, guys with open party guys or whatever, the guys that want to do, like, there's some pretty good hits, actually really good hits. There's guys that got all they needed last night, and not too far from home. You know, one day and a half range is not a problem. And like on these day and a half trips, we've talked about that before. I think we fished till 2 o'clock in the morning. We could have fished later if we needed to, but our guys are done. So we very good fishing to be had last night across the board, I think.
Man, that's great to hear, Mike. And the grade, I know you said yesterday you were talking about how great the grade was for the guys. Did that continue the same last night?
Yeah, there still is. You see 100-pound fish, but a lot of it's 40 to 60 pounds, which, perfect. You know, it's funny. You see the comments on our Facebook page and Instagram. That's what a lot of people want. I mean, yes, it's awesome to go get a 200-pounder. It's awesome to get a 300-pounder. Most your average Joe doesn't have the ability to pull on. Like, a 40 to 60-pounder is big enough where it's going to kick your butt. You're going to take a lot of fish home, and it's landable.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, just
I'm down for the 40 to 60 pounders
just
for sure.
Dealing with a 200 pounder is a lot. You know, yeah. That's a lot to process and pay for and have and store and move. I'm with you. We'll take 50 pounders.
I don't have any urge to pull on 150 or 200 pounder anymore. They're neat, and I'm glad that they exist, and I think they're awesome, but. Like when they say, like, it's hook and hand time. If it's a 40 or 60 pounder, I'm like, okay, well, this is
kind of I'm with you, man. So, are there any opportunities to fish on the Tribute?
There's a few spots left tonight. I think 4, and then Tuesday night we have a bunch. We have like 15 open spots or something for Tuesday night. You know, a lot of people celebrating the holiday, which is awesome. But Tuesday night there's a lot of room. Tonight there's a few spots. I gave the crew the 4th of July off, and, you know, trying to get down here around the 4th of July, you guys know as well as anybody. It's, I'll tell anybody that's listening right now, if they plan on coming down and getting on a boat on the night of the 4th of July, leave early.
Yes. Leave
really early.
Yeah, which is Thursday. So you're doing a day and a half on Tuesday night?
We are. A day and a half.
So that
Tuesday night,
brings you back 4th of July morning, and
yep.
Then you can go watch spend it with family and watch the fireworks. So
yeah,
you
make your sushi or pokey or whatever. Give C4 Planning a call, 619-224-3383. C4Planning.com, TributeSportFishing.com. I think there might be a bit or two running on the 4th. It still has room open, but... Tuesday night, get in Thursday morning.
That's a
good way to spend the 4th of July. Who doesn't like sushi?
Yeah, man. Hey, thanks, Mike. Tribute Sport Fishing, and I just call C4 Sport Fishing and get on the boat. Thanks for that.
That's it. We'll talk to you guys.
All right. Talk to you soon. Hey, phones are packed. Let's jump into it, Rick.
You got that right. How about this time we talk to Robert, who's calling us from Canyon Country this morning. Hey, Robert, welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Great show as usual, guys. So... the plane seeing any yellowfin or Dorado, I have a smaller center console, so running out to the bluefin's a bit much, but looking for the local bite.
No, nothing yet, but I can tell you it isn't going to be long. The water in the last week and a half in some spots has jumped 5, 6, 7 degrees.
Wow.
There is still a little bit of a cold water door down below off Ensenada, totally typical for this time of year, and it starts breaking down about this weekend every year. So another way you can watch for those fish is on those temperature maps that we've got. That warm water will overpower the cold water down there, and it basically opens the floodgates. But I have not heard of any yellowfin or Dorado so far. The plane hasn't seen it. It's just been the bluefin. And then one of my favorites is those giant, giant bonita. We were catching those the other day waiting for the tuna to pop up. I don't know. If there's a better fish to throw a topwater at, just blowing up
so
on everything.
Fun.
It's so much fun. And honestly, yeah. I'd rather eat bonita than a lot of other fish myself. It's,
especially bluefin right now, man. It gets so sick of
I get, old,
you get
I,
a bonita.
I,
it makes me so
we,
happy.
Yeah, we killed 3 or 4 of them.
What is going on here?
So how do you eating the bonita?
Bleed it right away.
Bleed it right away?
Dude, the pokey is insane.
Really?
And sashimi.
Cut steaks off of it and grill it in a pan, hot
no kidding.
Fast. It is the most underrated fish.
Just just don't freeze it, right?
In our water. It does not freeze great.
Yeah.
It does not freeze great for sure. But when you eat it fresh like that, man, it's so
Bleed it. Put it on ice.
Bleed it, ice it. You know, we do the ikijime on our boat,
yeah.
And it makes for a great, great eating fish. It's just, you got a bad rap, man. You stick a yellowfin tuna in a burlap sack for 12 hours out in the sun and tell me how good that tastes,
right,
you know? And that, I think
and
that's
these are big bonita.
They're huge.
Yeah.
I mean, huge.
Like 12 pounders?
12 up to 15 pounds.
Come on.
I'm not joking,
15
man. 15
pounds?
They are
big. Striper?
Big.
Wow.
Yeah, they are so good.
So fun when they eat poppers, too. And
tiger
tunas. Like on 15-pound test.
Yeah.
Poppers and stick baits, and it was a nice diversion. You know, I had the clients on the boat, and they were looking for something to do while we were waiting for the tuna to show up again. Rolled in there and caught a dozen of them. Oh, man, they're so much fun.
That's cool.
So fun. Yeah. Cool. Well, let's find out what's biting.
You got it, man. It's time. Speaking of FishDope.com, we've been talking about all morning. It's time for our FishDope.com report with Dave Hansen, your saltwater guide. Today, that FishDope.com report is sponsored by the Fish Pros at Fisherman's Processing in San Diego, where you get the premier processing experience. Check out the new, easier online system to book your processing for your long-range trips. Now, with the addition of new team members, Fisherman's Processing stays far ahead of the rest. More same-day capacity, the finest customer service. Stop by their location in Old Town on Taylor Street or check fishermansprocessing.com. Be sure to make those reservations today. And we got them. Dave Hansen, your saltwater guide, standing by. Good morning, Dave.
Hey, good morning, Yosef. Good morning, Ali.
Hey,
Rick, Pete.
Up, Dave?
Thanks for having me on the show this morning.
What's up, Dave?
Gang, it's on. Like Ali was saying, it's on. It's happening. Thanks. Where do you want to go? Just take a dart and throw it at the chart. Everything's happening. Catalina is on fire. It's like the most consistent fishery for the last 7-8 years. You can pretty much go over there and catch pretty much everything right now. There's sea bass, even some of the sport boats that probably haven't seen a sea bass in 20 years are catching them. It is fun fishing over there. There's lots of yellows sprinkled all over the front side of the island, and the calico bass is on the spawn, full speed. It's almost obnoxious if you're trying to catch something else because you can't get a bait through them. And literally, guys are showing me pictures back of the boat, just giant balls of brown underneath the boat while they're trying to pick through those things to get to the sea bass or the yellows. Great problem to have. San Clemente Island, I just was checking out the Fury's Instagram page this morning. 4 minutes ago, he posted a picture. Bunch of 15, 20-pound yellows laying all over the deck, and ice sea bass in the ice chest. Things are happening at Clemente. That bite in the cove is pretty good. Some days it's as good as it gets, and then other days it's a slow pick, but there's a humongous school of yellows in sea bass in the cove there at Pyramid. It's a big school of fish, and when it decides to bite, it really gets it on. It looks like it's biting this morning. Up the front side of the island, sprinkling of sea bass on some of the spots, and that yellow's all over the front side. The biggest problem is that the most protected animal on the planet is making it a little tough to catch them on the front side of the island, but
the California sea lion, is that what you're referring to?
Those most protected animals.
How dare you say
that? Yeah, we're not really allowed to talk about them. They're so protected, you're not even supposed to say their name. That's how protected they are. So, when I grow up, though, I want to be a sea lion.
Yeah.
But I probably never grow up.
You're halfway there already.
Thank you, Rick. I was hoping someone caught on to that. Up at the Channel Islands, there's still a lot of fish up there, but it's that wind. We just need that wind to stop blowing. And then you guys know, everybody in the building talking about that bluefin. There's so much of that bluefin spread out everywhere. Guys were seeing it between Catalina and Clemente. Another couple guys saw it up there on the west end fishing that spot prawn up there. They saw it off the west end of Clemente. It's just getting up here like it does every year. It just needs to settle down a little bit. It's hard to pinpoint it because it's just flying around like Ali said. Wherever the food is, that's where they are. So, gang, all I can tell you is it's time to go fishing. There's no time to not go. This is it. If you're waiting for something to happen, well, it's happening.
And FishDope.com is your source. That's the place. $30 off a new membership to FishDope.com using the code HOOKUP NOW. Lowercase, no spaces. We've got you WantonTheFishHope.com membership. You don't win the one that we're giving away today on the show. $30 off a new membership to FishDope.com using the code HOOKUPNOW. So, and Dave, how do we find you?
Check out social media at YourSaltwaterGuide.com. I'm on everything.
All right. Thanks, Dave. Appreciate
thank you, guys. Thank you very much.
Talk to you
see
next Dave. Sunday.
See you guys. Bye.
I appreciate thanks. That very much. That's going to wrap up our report again. Norris Lithium Batteries, they're here in Southern California, designed specifically for marine use. Norris Lithium features prismatic cells for extreme durability, solid connections, longevity, and reliability. The Norris Guardian Advanced Battery Management System allows you to monitor the health and charging status by using an app on your phone. Norris also makes a complete line of kayak and electric reel batteries. Make an investment in the very best for your boat with Norris Lithium. Check NorrisLithium.com or go see the Trolling Motor Doctor or Anglers Marine, both in their Anaheim and Lakeside locations, for your Norris Lithium batteries.
Hey, great text here from Brian San Clemente. Says, a question for Ali. When flying the kite, are you just getting into an area where you know there's fish, or are you waiting till you actually meter a spot of fish before you fly the kite?
Meter or see the fish.
Meter or see.
I mean, a big part of kite fishing and being really successful is being able to find a breezer, understand what a breezer looks like in different conditions. Like if it's windy, they ain't easy to spot. But yeah, we if I had my druthers, it would be straight breezer fishing because I know where they're at, I know where they're going, I can get out ahead of them, throw one in it, and you know, more times than not, it's going to get smashed.
The kite fishing that you're doing, you're like strategically placing that flying fish, whether it be a dead one with the wingspin back or a California flyer. You're putting it into them, like if everything goes well, in the exact spot that you were wanting to do.
Exactly. Yeah, no, we're not sitting around.
It's
like a sport boat, we don't have sonar. What we have is maneuverability. That's our advantage. They have sport boats have sonar. Big yachts have sonar. For us, it's being able to see one. I mean, we run into them sometimes. Like when it's biting good, we'll pretty much charge right into it and flip a bait off the side of the boat or have it, you know, dangling in the air behind the boat, present it, and get bit right away. I think that's our biggest strength. Then once we're bit, we keep firing them off the side of the boat and, you know, many times have doubles, triples, quads. You can have quints going a couple of times.
No way.
Yeah, it's crazy.
That is something that separates the very best people that are doing it, which Ali is very much that in that camp is, you know, if you hook one on the kite and you're new at it, you should just focus on that big fish. You put a lot of effort into it and you should put all of your focus into catching that fish and landing that fish and high-fiving your trophy. But in Ali's case where you know the gear is right and the people are right, like you also, you know, on the flip side of that, you spend all day waiting for an opportunity at finding fish that are willing to bite, and you finally found it. Get that thing back out there as fast as you physically can and just yep. start running through the gear. And boy, that's what separates the men from the boys, is guys who can deal with that very, very fast and continually get another bait back out there, because that school is up on the surface right now, and it's willing to bite. Feed them as much as you can until you got every rod bit.
Yeah, that's, I mean, a lot of guys get one or two fish, but if you want to rack up those bigger numbers, that's the whole key, is getting, when we're bit, it is less than 1 minute before we have another flying fish off the side of the boat. We carry 5 rail rods, which seems insane, but we need them, you know, and when that stuff, and you know, Ricky, we look at that stuff all day long and can't buy a bite. You start questioning why you even freaking got out of bed in the morning. When it turns on, those windows can be as short as a 15-minute window all day, or sometimes they'll bite all day long, but man, fire those tuna bullets right off the side of the boat as quick as you can.
It's the tale that doesn't always get told when you see the hero shot at the dock at the end of the day, and there's four big ones standing there, like, you know, you just assume, oh, those guys had a good day and they picked off 4 fish throughout the day. It's very likely that all 4 of those came off the same spot, or we got 2, the spot was still up, we got in front of it again, we got 2 more, we hooked 1, we lost it, that was our day.
That's, you know what I mean? 100%.
Like, and you spent 12 hours yep. for that 1.5-hour opportunity.
You may have run 3 hours each direction
totally.
To get a 15-minute bite window. And when I was a kid, somebody said it, but tuna fishing is hours and hours of boredom broken up by minutes of pandemonium.
That's it.
That's 100%. I mean, we've done this a bunch of times, and I'm yelling at everybody, trying to get this, trying to get that. Da-da-da, that one's going towards the motor. There's a lot going on, but that's what's so fun.
That's the best.
Like, managing that chaos is the fun part of the day.
That's the best. Hey, when we come back, we got a lot more Let's Talk Hookup coming your way. More of your phone calls, more great info. You stay tuned. It's Let's Talk Hookup with the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio and the Let's Talk Hookup app.
This is Pete. hate, and I hear it all the time. That Jim and Mary at Poway Valley Collision are amazing. I took my car to Poway Valley Collision, mentioned Let's Talk Hookup, and they gave us VIP treatment, fixed our car, and even gave us a special price. Believe me when I say Poway Valley Collision is worth the drive from anywhere in the Southland. At some point, your car will need a body repair, and I'm confident in saying it pays to go to Poway Valley Collision. Our listeners can save hundreds of dollars on your next car or truck repair. They work with most insurance companies, including Auto Club, MetLife, Wawanisa, and more. All you do is call Jim, Mary, or any of their team members, and they do all the rest. No hassles, just top-notch work and VIP treatment. When you take your car or truck to Poway Valley Collision, the job and experience will be top-notch. Get it fixed right at Poway Valley Collision. 14211 Garden Road in Poway. Check PowayValleyCollision.com. If it was possible to improve near perfection in a lever drag saltwater reel, Shimano is the company that can do it. Introducing the all-new Talica 12A and 16A two-speed lever drag reel. These new Talica reels raise the bar of Shimano's flagship reel again with ultra-smooth reeling and powerful drag performance to conquer long battles with trophy game fish. The addition of Shimano's innovative Infinity Drive technology leverages a new drag design to increase drag force and produce up to 30% lighter rotation during tough battles. The new generation of Talica now features X-Protect technology to boast high-level water resistance in vital areas. These new Shimano reels feature a Hagani body made of highly rigid aluminum to reduce the reel's overall weight. The palming side plate is an additional 6% smaller than the previous generation. Push the limit. Shimano's all-new Talica 12A and 16A reel, available at your local Shimano dealer. San Diego, if there's one thing we like, it's choices. And with a Ford F-150, you have a range of pickups for any job. With great offers on a full lineup of vehicles and available powertrains, get your ideal combination of power and capability. Whether that job is getting heavy things where you need them to go, getting things done, or going from 0 to 60 in under 4 seconds, tough, this smart, and capable can only be called F-150. Get ready and go get your own. Visit your local San Diego County Ford dealers today. They'll be glad to hook you up.
For quality, the Islander out of Fisherman's Landing is a favorite among anglers. But Islander Charters is much more than great fishing. The quality of the captains and crew, as well as the free meals and service, speak for themselves. Comfortable staterooms, a super clean and well taken care of boat, are just a few of the reasons the Islander is so popular. The Islander specializes in 1.5 to 5 day fishing. Experience the Islander difference. Visit IslandersSportFishing.com.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. Having a great time here this morning. It's been a crazy busy morning on the phones. If you want to get through, we had one line open up during the break. If you want a shot, this is the best time right now. 213-432-1090. Not only are you going to get a chance to talk to Yosef and Ali, you're also going to get a shot at winning a full one-year subscription to FishDope.com.
Yeah, bring those texts on too. Text the show. A lot of great texts like this one from Scott. He says, hey, Yosef, long time no talk. Just curious if you've mentioned to the people about using self-directed IRAs to purchase investment properties. You helped me sell a condo with a complicated IRA ownership deed and did a great job for me. Another big fan.
You really do have a lot of Let's Talk Hookup guys that are getting back.
Yeah.
Told you, yeah.
Full of things just like
Yeah. So yeah. Explain that. What the heck, first of all, is a self-directed IRA, and how in the world you can draw that out and not have to pay taxes on it and put it into an investment property?
Oh, yeah. You can buy an investment with a self-directed IRA. So
now, what's a self-directed IRA, first of all?
That's an IRA you control. Basically, yeah. And let's say you have your own corporation, right?
Right.
Like, you can do what's called a defined benefit, and it lowers your taxable income by whatever amount that is. So let's say you made $100,000 this year, right? You put 30% of that into your defined benefit, which could be a self-directed IRA, a SEP IRA, anything like that.
A SEP is a self-directed IRA. Yeah.
And so you put your money in there. That lowers your tax basis, right?
Right.
On the other side. And now that money is tax-free once you retire.
Until you draw it.
Until you draw on it. But you don't ever draw on it. Go buy real estate with it.
So and you and when you put it into real estate, that's not drawing on it?
No, because the IRA...
It's just redirecting,
redirecting the
IRA money.
The IRA owns the real estate. You don't own it.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, yeah. And I helped Scott with that. My dad actually bought his condo, and we just put together a deal on it, and he got out of it. He'd owned it for years, depreciated it and everything. Dude, he's Scott's smart guy when it comes to... moving his investments around, but took those, moved them over to, I think, Kansas or something, or Ohio, and bought like 5 or 6 properties with each one.
Cool. So, wow.
Yeah.
And then you don't have to pay tax on that until you sell that property.
Yeah. Exactly. Wow. So your IRA owns it, and the best thing to do is just keep handing it down, you know?
Yeah.
And you can borrow against it.
Wow.
So, I mean, there's just...
It's a beautiful thing.
It's a beautiful thing, yeah, especially if you have a business, you know? You can defer a lot of that money and then make money on your money.
Wow.
Because you're making rent on those, you know?
So, sure.
Yeah.
I like it. Instead of just sitting there getting minimal interest rates in an IRA.
Totally, yeah. And if it's not just sitting in your IRA and you're, you know, the S&P's controlling your life.
Right.
Instead, real estate's controlling your life.
Yeah.
You know?
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like it.
There's all kinds of things you can do, strategies,
yeah,
exchanges.
And you know all that stuff.
I know a lot of it, and I've got some good financial guys that I can refer out, you know, that I work with, a couple guys, one guy, and I've got literally one of the best guys in the country from Pence Wealth Management up in Newport Beach.
Cool.
Good friend I grew up with just happened to be, you know.
Perfect.
And he fishes, too.
There you go.
How about that?
Yeah,
huh?
Exactly.
Yeah. Get a little Baja report.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, well, we had another great text come through from John in San Diego. Says, wow, what a great show, guys. Question for each of you. Yusuf, do your company do any type of residential rental management, or do you have somebody that you could recommend? And Ali, I have a question on your charter operation. How does one get involved? Where do we sign up? Pricing, et cetera.
I'll go first. Sorry. On the charter side of things, if you want to get a hold of me, just hit me on Instagram at BDOALI, and I can fire you back all the details.
BDOALI?
Yeah, BD Outdoors, Ali. It was all that was available, man.
Okay.
I'm working with what I got.
On what?
On Instagram.
On Instagram,
yeah.
Okay.
You can get me on there, and I can shoot you over all the details and all that good stuff. And I know my brother's got some hookups on the property management side, and he can tell you all about them.
Yeah, definitely. I've got a few guys. Guys, if you want to use a fisherman, my guy, Richard Norwood, he's a good friend of ours. He actually manages our family's properties with Open Door Rentals. He's kind of my guy right now.
He's got a cow, too.
What's up?
Didn't he just get a cow?
Yeah, he got one the other day.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, he got one a couple of days ago.
Yeah, and then one a couple of days before that, too.
He was out the same day as me when he got this first one. It was a little over 200, and he looked like he was going to die.
Yeah,
and
I understand
He came off the front of the boat, and I saw him. He forgot his Zoleo, and he's motoring over towards me, and he's in the front of the boat, and his buddy's driving, and he literally looked like he just had a child.
Well, I was given those guys all kinds of hell because we weighed the first cow that they had like in a week's time, like at the landing, and it was at like 10:30 in the morning. Like
I had just pulled up and he was pulling out.
They
left at like daybreak.
They came into Fisherman's Landing. I'm like, was everything all right? You know, something wrong with the boat? Like, no, we got a big one. We want to string it up real fast. Like it's 10:30. Like they're still serving breakfast. Like,
why are you back?
That's what I'm saying. Mitch still has breakfast burritos available right now. Like you shouldn't have a cow and be back to the dock. It's 30 miles away. They went. Wow. They caught a big one.
Richard might have died if he caught another. He might have died.
Special times.
Yeah, that's cool. But so he does management for.
He does. Yeah, it's Open Door Rentals. You guys can hit me up too, and I can give you his number.
All right.
Really good guy.
What's your phone number again?
619-277-2169, or hit me on social media at Cal Realty, CalReality, and follow me too if you want to see some of the fishing adventures and some of the houses I have for sale. Follow me on Instagram. Follow me on Facebook.
All right. Let's jump back in the phones, Rick.
You got it, buddy. How about we talk to Hills? Hills is coming from Ventura this morning. Hey, Hills. Welcome to Let's Talk Hook Up.
Good morning, guys. Man, so I'm so intimidated by these financial experts, but fishing is less stressful for me. But yet, so I went with Jake Clinch on Bite Sport Fishing. We got a big cow on the kite, and he was preferring two big single hooks on the flying fish. Then he had rigged, and it worked right away. Within like 20 minutes, we had we were bit, but I was going to ask Yosef and Ali about treble hooks and single hooks, and what's the wisdom around bluefin tunas with even on eddy bombs and stuff.
What do you think, Ali?
I mean, for the kite stuff, I really like the treble in the back. I feel like they choke on it. And a lot of times, and you know, you'll get them so far back, they'll come to the boat in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
You're not going to get that with another hook. We did do some experimenting. We tagged some fish on the show a few years back, and I rigged double circle hooks on the kite rig so it would be easier to release them. We went, I think, that day 5 for 5.
Wow.
So
yeah,
it does
work. And Jake is a heck of an angler.
Dude,
so he's
come
using
on.
Double singles.
Who else catches a giant swordfish in January? That kid's fishy as they come.
Oh, yeah.
So yeah, for me, that's... I hate treble hooks on a whole. Like, I try not to use them for anything. I think they do have their place on the back of a, you know, a Mad Max style lure, or the new lures that we have from Apollo, the Stardas. And I also think they have their place on that kite rig, just because it's a little more sticky, and then they definitely do choke on it. And I think we learned that with this pen fishing. We were hooking those fish with like an 8-0 to a 10-0 circle in the corner of the mouth. That's a different animal.
So let me ask you a question, because I know you know the guys from Nomad real well.
Yeah.
How in the world do you send a Nomad Mad Mac with those crappy hooks that they put on there? What is the deal on that?
Don't ask me.
Let's call it out, right? I mean, you got to change out the hook, whether it be a treble or a single, whatever, but it's like they're worthless.
I've always wondered why they don't just, like, it was the same thing with jigs back in the day. We used to all swap our hooks out on the jigs.
Yeah.
Like, make a bait that's all around. You don't have to mess with
it. I will say they'll be out, I think, in August or September, the new Sarda, which is this lure that we've worked with Rapala. We've had the designer out from France, put him on the boat last year, showed him our fishery, which coincidentally I thought was really cool. It's very, very similar to the French tuna fishery. They troll bonita style lures, marauders, whatever you want to call them over there. That's their primary way of catching them. They've been doing it for a long time. But he got to see our fishery firsthand and came back. The hooks on that lure from the factory are terrifying. I don't even know what they are. There's some Rapala and VMC are owned by the same company. They are some gnarly VMC gangster looking sharp as you know what. One of my clients' dogs fishes with us all the time. He's a Malinois, you know, those big gnarly climb a wall, bite your arm off kind of dog. And he got his ear on one. Ooh. And it just scraped him. It didn't even go through his ear. That dog bled more on my boat last week than any fish ever has.
Wow.
The whole boat was just covered in it. They are sharp and nasty.
Wow.
And that lure works. It's been our go-to for about a year and a half fishing.
When's it coming out?
It'll be out late this summer. They're going to show it at ICAST. Yeah,
great.
And then it's coming out in the smaller size first, and the big one's right behind it. I have a prototype of that. Put it out. Caught an 80-pounder on the show the other day. And
nice.
Like it was nothing.
How fast are you trolling these things?
I can't troll 12 knots. You could not
Pour the fuel in fast
enough?
You
couldn't get it out with a bucket fast enough to get it out of like half a mile a gallon, 0.4 miles per gallon.
Jeez.
So
I
pull it in my sweet spot, which is like 8.5 knots. I get 1-to-1, just a little tick underneath, and then if I see the fish up, I'll usually bump it up. But I'd be telling people, like, dude, we get bit at 8.5 knots all the time.
All the time. Whether it be a Mad Mac or a Rapala
It just does. Yeah, the lure doesn't matter. I think that like one guy started getting them going really fast, and then everybody else.
How far back are you putting them?
100 to 150 yards.
So a long way back.
A long way back.
Clean water.
I think so too. They want to be in that clean water or something. But I'll say like what. And it's the same with the spreader bars. When they're biting good, you don't need that.
Right.
They'll eat it right off the propeller.
And are you pulling 80-pound tests, 100-pound tests?
So that's the thing. Here's a tip for you. We have 230s, and again, not everybody can do this, dedicated for trolling the high-speed lures.
Yeah.
And on those, I use hollow braid. I love to splice it. Ricky knows I'm a geek for that stuff. I don't do any of that. I tie an FG knot. If you don't have that knot in your arsenal, it's not as hard as it looks once you get it down to like a 6-foot piece of 100-pound Seaguar fluorocarbon. The reason I'm using 6 feet instead of 30 feet like I would with a normal wind-on leader for my cow rigs is it just doesn't have as much drag cutting through the water.
Yeah.
Less drag means the lure is not going to get pulled to the surface and jump out and skip and tangle and do all that bad stuff. So just 6 feet, 100-pound, straight to my 130-pound braid or 100-pound braid, we kill them like that all summer long. It works out really, really well. And you can pull those lures. Like, I can pull that new Sarda lure. The other day, we're coming downhill with the swell. I looked down, I'm doing 14.5 knots.
Wow.
And that thing's just, you know,
right
back there doing its deal. Yeah. Yeah. Really, really, really helps to get the that running, thin line there.
Running that shorter leader, too, is a game changer. I didn't know that until about 2 or 3 weeks ago. He told me, you know, he's like, you know, bring those things down to 6 feet.
You'll get more bites because they run deeper.
They just run better in general.
Yeah. So you don't miss the stretch in mono or anything like that?
No, not really. I mean, and that's the funny thing, too. People are like, oh, well, fluoro doesn't have the stretch, whatever. So I make my own Winons. I'm super religious about it. After I make five of them, I keep them piled up on my bench there, and then I'll go out and I'll tie them. I've got a hook on my Palapa patio cover. Tie them onto that. A 30-foot leader will probably stretch 10 feet when you really start putting some heat to it. And that's fluorocarbon.
That's Seaguar fluorocarbon.
Seaguar fluorocarbon. Yes, sir. And a Premier usually, no, but those are 200s. I can take 200. A 200-pound leader and probably get it to stretch about 25.
But you're using 100-pound when you're pulling a Mad Max. 100-pound of the Republic.
Correct. Flying Fish Wind-Ons are 30 feet long, and they're 200-pound Seaguar fluorocarbon. And really, oh, fluoro is so expensive. I get it. But at the end of the season, we might use 1 liter all season.
Yeah.
The bite leader is what takes the abuse. Unless somebody rubs a fish on the bottom of the boat or does something funky, that leader is pretty much good for the entire season. What's a leader like that cost, Rick?
It's, you mean just 6 feet of?
No, like a 30-foot leader, a 200-pound fluoro.
$50?
So no. 50 bucks in that rig, you're basically set up for the whole season. And I will say it till the day I die, I think that fluoro, it helps you catch fish because of the abrasion resistance.
Yeah, the longevity
the
there.
Yeah, yeah.
And I mean, like you say, that's 50 bucks that you can have all season long to potentially have dozens of fish, in your case, over 200 pounds.
Yep.
And, you know, you fish real heavy like that, you don't have to keep burning through them.
And that's my theory, exactly. I mean, I basically put the wind on, I put a bead on, and then I crimp my swivel on, and that's a setup for the whole season. And most of them I never even have to touch. And, you know, you get a weird tangle or something gets funky, I'll swap one out. But it really is a good piece of insurance, not having knots, having a very clean wind-on connection, and just knowing that, I mean, I have the ultimate confidence in my gear. If you got to lock that thing up, it'll take
not going to let you.
All day long.
Yeah, for sure. Well, let's jump back in the phone.
You got it. How about John calling us from Idlewild this morning? Good morning, John. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
I guess we lost John. Yeah. So I have Matt has sent us a text here. He says, good morning, guys. Great show. Question for Ali. When out scouting for bluefin and you find a live bait, birds, and no tuna, what do you see? What do you do? Do you go back to that? Or
I make a mental note usually, you know, because it's not even that hard. You can see on the chart plotter, if we find a zone like that, it's going to get chopped up, and you'll see where you, and on the chart plotter, you made Z's through it or whatever. But, yeah, I'm putting that in the bank, and if I don't find it in there, then I'm going to go look in, and then it's a lot of times, man, and I think everybody knows, these bluefin, I don't know where the hell they go. They can be everywhere and nowhere at the exact same time. So it's like, if I'm finding all that life, and I'm off the tide, meaning I'm between a high or a low tide, I'm going to come back if I haven't found something better on slack tide. An hour, and this season so far, 1 hour before the tide change has been money. They stop showing before slack, which is usually when we like to fish them, but about an hour before the tide change, man, they have been showing high and dry, which bodes really well for this season. You know, the more of them we can actually see up breezing or whatever, the more of them we can catch.
I dig it. That's great. Hey, another fun good text from Stephen Fallbrook says, good morning, guys. Ollie, what a fantastic job you did on the Yellowtail Shootout this year. It's my favorite event. That was a great showing at Portuguese Hall last weekend. Look forward to the tournament next year, and much thanks to your contributions and support for CCA. Can you give us a little rundown of the event?
Yeah, so this was our 17th annual Yellowtail Shootout, tells you how old me and Ricky are now.
Wow.
And it was just another great tournament. It's a great community event. The whole thing from my side is value. You know, not everybody's going to win the tournament. That just doesn't happen. But everybody's going to win a bunch of great stuff. You know, our sponsors, we've got great partnerships with them. We've got a track record. When you sign up for that tournament, it's going to cost you about $100 a person, $125 a person. When you walk away from the captain's meeting, I want you to have $100 worth of stuff in that bag. Costa hat, Yeti hat, a jig, all kinds of stuff. And then, you know, you go out and fish, have a great day. There's some real money to be won. I think we gave away $17,000 to first place this year. And then,
wow. And what was first place? Was it the guys that caught the fish at the islands?
Those guys had, I think they were fishing at La Jolla. It was a solid bag. Like, I think it was 78 pounds for five fish.
Wow. We were right next to them. We saw them both, two of them.
In La Jolla?
Yeah. We were right next. We
dump 250.
And then we have a big fish division, which was like a tick under 34.
That's
a legit local fish.
Jeez.
You know? And the thing, we have too many raffle prizes.
That's so rad.
And it sounds crazy, but like we had this year, we had 68 teams and we had like 65 raffle prizes.
Wow.
So odds are someone on your team is going to, and we're not giving away crap. We're talking about rods,
that's
reels.
That's the thing about you guys, yeah. So Traegers,
Yetis, Costas. I mean, those guys are happy to provide it because they want to support the community, and we're just the vessel for it. And it's something that I think we would, if BD went away tomorrow, I would still run the tournament.
Wow.
I just love it. And it's calls like this. People are so grateful when they're there. It's a good family event.
Yeah.
Valley Farms kills it with the catering. I mean, we had pulled pork and brisket and all that stuff. Yeah, Derek and his guys kill it.
So next year's event is when?
It'll be same week. It's a weekend after Father's Day every single year.
Every
like
year.
Around June, 22 to 25, 26,
yeah.
Something like
all
that.
Right.
Yeah.
That's my problem for the last 17 years. It's the day we get home from sitting.
From sitting.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's right. It's right on the heels.
Always
that.
The same.
Yeah.
Which is
yeah.
such a, as shown, it's just such a good time for yellowtail fishing. And that tournament, too, and I know we got to go, but like, even when there's no fish around, it always seems like the yellowtail shootout comes around and boom, there's big ones.
Someone,
it's timed perfect.
Somebody finds a big one.
So yeah. You're going to get a bunch of great stuff. You're going to have a great meal, and you're probably going to have a bunch of fun. These guys make shirts. They get all into it. They got funny names. It's just, it's such a great
good
community.
Time. People. A lot of repeat customers.
And we don't have the tournaments, you know, that we used to have. Yeah. And in Florida, man, like guys like us, you fish a tournament every weekend.
Yeah.
You know, there's just so many of them. We just don't have that. So it's a fun, special thing. And for us to be able to give back to the community, it's definitely not the most money-making thing that we do. We just love doing it because the people really appreciate it.
That's awesome. Hey, when we come back, we're going to find out who's got themselves a year subscription to Fish Dope. More Let's Talk Hookup on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio. Everyone has their go-to fishing spot. My spot is Kingfisher Charters in Sitka, Alaska. Rock Cod Rick here to say if you're looking for the ultimate Alaska experience and the best value in Alaska, it's Kingfisher Charters. Owner Seth Bone and his crew consistently deliver deluxe accommodations, the finest food, world-class fish processing, and top-of-the-line fishing experience. We've literally sent hundreds of our listeners to Kingfisher, and they all can't wait to go back. Most Alaska resorts make big promises, and they don't deliver, or they'll nickel and dime you to drive up the cost, but not Kingfisher. Everything is included. Your license, fish processing, super deluxe accommodations, amazing food, airport transfers, your gear. Literally all you need to bring is your layer clothing, and Kingfisher covers the rest. They also have the finest boats and charter captains in Sitka, all for the ultimate value. Take it from me. Book your trip to Kingfisher Charters, and you'll thank me. Kingfisher Charters, 800-727-6136, or check kingfishercharters.com.
This is Captain Tim Ekstrom from the long-range vessel Royal Star. With my partners Randy Toussaint and Brian Sims, we have set the bar for the long-range fishing experience. Spring 8-day, summer 5-day, or a fly-down, fly-back 11-day winter trip, we deliver the highest quality long-range voyage you will find. From our premium RSW fish storage to our top-of-the-line chefs and crew, Royal Star distinguishes itself from all others. Want to grab a spot on the Royal Star? Check us out at RoyalStarSportFishing.com or call Tracy at 619-224-4764.
There are moments that change our perception of what is and isn't possible. Cosmic shifts where the stars align with the earth to alter how we see the world. The release of King Tide is one of those moments. This is the crowning achievement of Costa's 40-year legacy on the water. The culmination of every innovation and lessons learned up until this point. Wins and losses and highs and lows have brought us here to stand witness to a legacy brought to life. To achieve the ultimate potential on the water. Costa King Tide. Rule the water.
For your next fishing adventure, check Point Loma Sport Fishing. They offer half-day trips on the Daily Double and full-day trips on the Mission Bell every day. Perfect for novice or seasoned fishermen. Point Loma Sport Fishing also offers overnight to multi-day trips on the American Angler, Vagabond, Intrepid, Independence, New Loan, T-Bird, Game Changer, and more. Visit PointLomaSportFishing.com where you can purchase tickets online. Want to go fishing? Point Loma Sport Fishing has you covered.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. Having a great time here this morning. It's time to find out who's got themselves a one-year subscription to fishdope.com. Ali's going to do us the honor flipping the prize coin there.
All right. Next to us, Costa King Tides.
We have a caller as the winner today. Congratulations, Jeff in San Diego. You got yourselves a one-year fishdope.com subscription. Congratulations.
All right. Congratulations. And Yosef, obviously, you've been doing a great job in the real estate game for our listeners. I learned something today about the IRA and the whole thing like that as far as investment goes. How do we get a hold of you?
You can get me on my cell phone at 619-277-2169 or get me on social media at Cal, C-A-L, Realty, dot, or at Cal Realty.
At Cal Realty.
Yeah.
All right. Great.
Or, and if you're looking to sell a home, you can go on to SoCalHomeEval.com and get an immediate price for your home.
Yeah, that's right. I did it. And Ali, how do we find you?
Instagram's a great way to get a hold of me. It's at BDOALI, at BDOALI. And if I can help you out with some Seakeeper stuff, questions, whatever, fire them over. It's Ali at BlueSeasStabilizer.com.
All right, Captain Bruce Smith next Saturday, Jake and Mike Fries from Primetime Sport Fishing next Sunday. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.